This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
I'm Janet. I'm here with my buddy Crash, and we are just talking it up. And let me bring my buddy Crash in. How are you, Crash?
Good. Been doing a lot of shopping over the weekend here. Just, got my Christmas shopping all done. Well,
you have not.
It's partly a lie.
But
it is
partly.
All done. It is all done, but I didn't do any over the weekend and don't plan to do any at all. I probably will buy my wife something online, but I do not go out and hit those shopping malls or hit those stores after Thanksgiving.
Come on. You're not one of those guys that gets up at 2 in the morning and heads out to Walmart and waits until they open the doors at 4 o'clock or whatever?
No, but, you know, I was at the drugstore yesterday picking up some things for my wife, and a lady in front of me said that she and her husband went out at 12:30 on Thanksgiving night, got home at 4:30, and they took their kids. And I thought, you know, surely you're in the line at the drugstore here to get some crazy pills, because that's exactly what you need. I haven't done that.
Hey, I can remember being in line it used to be a Circuit City, which used to be a big chain store that had electronics. It's now Best Buy, I guess, is the place people go. But I can remember being pregnant and standing in line at Circuit City and getting these little tiny television sets. They were like 5-inch screens, and they were battery operated, and I got them for $5 a piece, and I gave them as Christmas gifts, and those were the best. They were the best Christmas gifts I ever gave, and they worked for years until they took all the television waves out of the air. Nobody could use them for anything anymore.
Did you get the ones that were about as big as a telephone?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Absolutely.
And it was powered by D-sized batteries, they lasted forever. Or you could plug them in, too. I had one in my kitchen for years.
Do you
guys? Yeah, I thought they were great.
Thanksgiving or day after? That's for
stronger people than I am. I usually do. Now I do most of my stuff on the internet, but even standing in line on the internet is actually, it's almost just as bad as getting out anyway. So I kind of do what?
How did you feel about the stores who said they were going to open at 12 o'clock on Thanksgiving night, and these people said, no, you don't have a right to invade our family time and what have you? And as a family man, I said, you know, I think people ought to have family time too. But as a businessman, I say, I want, if selling during the Christmas season is my goal as a businessman, that I want to be able to tell my employees, here's what we're going to do. I didn't ask you what we're going to do. I'm saying this is what we're going to do. Now, if you don't like what we're going to do, you can get another job. And if you're getting the job puts me in distress, then that's my problem. But this is what we're going to do.
I agree. And I'm with you. Just work. Here are the hours that are available to work, and we need you to come in. If you can't come in, then, you know, if you can't get it covered and you're not going to come in for some unbelievable reason, then you just lost your job. But I don't think I would fire somebody if they had strong beliefs about Thanksgiving, if they were going to be with their family and that's what they chose to do. They chose not to work. Then I think it ought to be no problem at all to get somebody else to work.
Well, then you may be
for
in
that day. And doesn't bother me that they're shopping on Thanksgiving. I don't care if they open stores on Christmas Day. Not everybody believes that it is a day that we honor Christ. It is a day that my family and I honor Christ, and I expect you to respect that. But sell all you want.
And I agree with that. Now, let's look at it from a business standpoint. If you said you have to come to work on Sunday, I think that's a moral or an ethical issue. I can't come to work on Thanksgiving night after I've had all of Thanksgiving Day. That's not a moral issue to me. That's a business issue.
But I'm curious, why would it be a moral issue if you said you have to come to work on Sunday?
Well, I think you've got blue laws that are in place in most locations.
But how is it a moral issue?
Well, I think the blue laws have to do with moral with moral things. And Sundays historically have been a time of rest. And now we're getting into secular humanism and the direction that our nation is going away from anything scriptural or spiritual. And our country, it may not be, there's a little bit of semantics here, but is our country a Christian nation? A nation doesn't go to heaven or hell. A nation is an entity, it's not an individual. Therefore, by pure definition, a country is neither Christian or non-Christian. Now, our country was founded on Christian principles. Part of those Christian principles was the obeying of the Sabbath. That has carried forward under blue laws for a long period of time. So I think that's a place where you can say, now, do you have a moral aversion to working on Sunday? If you do, then we'll work something out here. But I got to tell you that I'm in business to make a profit in this business. And if you feel like you can't work the times that I have you work, then we may have to part company.
No, I agree. That's what I was saying, is that why couldn't you tell an employee, I need you to work on Sunday, and if that employee comes to you and says, I'm not going to work on Sunday, I'm wondering why that's a moral issue. So you're saying it's a moral issue for the business owner, not for the employee?
Yeah, I think that if it's a moral issue for the employee, then I think the business owner should respect that, because that's a traditional blue law moral issue that's been around in our country for a long period of time. If you say, I'm not going to work on Thursday on Thanksgiving, that's not a blue law or a moral issue. That's a, it's inconvenient for me because my family was going to go shopping at 12 o'clock at Walmart, and you want
to... Well, yeah, but I don't think there's an employee in the country that's going to say, well, I can't come because I have to go shopping. He's going to say he's sick.
But they may say, well, we were planning on playing Pinochle or something. It doesn't really...
So let me ask you this. Did that issue develop into like a... Was it a union issue when they said that they were going to... deciding on whether they were going to open the stores on Thanksgiving night at 6 o'clock or at 10 o'clock or at 12 o'clock or whatever? Were the unions involved in answering that question?
They were involved. But see, the people who picketed were not union members. And so the union... This was a Walmart. The union who would have been over this group had they been unionized met with them. Now, what they're trying to do is to get them to unionize. But and the union organizer went to the manager of that store and asked him on the radio, said, will you agree not to hold it against these people who have struck or who have picketed and who have not come to work? Now, the owner or the manager was very, very careful not to say that he would not to say that he would, because that's a labor law issue. And I'm not exactly sure how that would work out, because these people were not organized. If they'd been organized, then he would have been bound to treat them in a certain way. But you see what's happening. I think unions are trying their best to get back into these large places because they feel like that they have been empowered with Obama being elected. They feel like that they've been empowered to build back up that union strength that had been around in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and had waned in subsequent years because employers had really treated them better than union could force them to be treated. Now, that's also true in steel workers and car manufacturers, but that's why General Motors really had to go bankrupt, because of unions.
Well, I'm thinking about this whole season. It's just now kicked off after Thanksgiving, and I look at Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all of the holidays that are just coming up, and there will be so many advertisements with free shipping and only 23 days left to have your free shipping, and we're gonna get bombarded with it every single day, and I'm wondering how much money will be generated this year. And in my mind, if I'm a business owner and I've got to make up for lost profits, that's in the in any part of the year. I don't care if I call my employees in on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve night or Christmas morning. To me, it's a business issue. And if you can't keep your business afloat, then you're not going to be able to be a productive member of society and support yourself. You'll have to go on food stamps. But that apparently is the goal. But
you've got a little bit of a different issue if you've got what's called exempt or non-exempt employees. One is hourly and one is more considered more of a professional position, and it's not an hourly rate. For example, we don't have people who are exempt and non-exempt employees here. We don't have hourly people. We have people who have a job to do. Our hours are from 8:30 to 5:30. And you're expected to be here for that period of time. Now, some people have to work over a weekend. If we have a computer outage or something like that, then we may have one or two people who have to work all day Saturday, half day Sunday, sleep on the job because we have to get something done. We have courses that are taught online, and therefore we have to be up and running for people to be able to access those courses on a 24/7 basis.
So, do you guys run sales? Do you run specials and sales where you have a certain discount off and that kind of a coupon thing? Or
those are in an attempt to attract people and put them in a position of buying by a specific time. People have a tendency to put off till tomorrow what they can. But if you give them an imperative that if you do it by a certain time for this, we'll give you this price. But at 12 o'clock, that goes away.
So was Cyber Monday a big deal for you?
No, it's not. We're not in a retail type business. We're in a business to consumer business, which is training and empowerment of professional people in the financial services industry. So it's really not Christmas specific or holiday specific or anything like that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because you're in a different bracket than I am. And I'm just curious, when you do your shopping, you talked about having, you've got all your Christmas shopping is actually all done, except you might buy your wife something on the internet, but your Christmas shopping is done. Is that because, and I don't mean this to be insulting, is that because as a granddad, you write out checks, or you genuinely have picked up gifts along the way and they're hidden in your closet or whatever and you're going to wrap them?
No, I tell you what I do. I buy my wife something every year. Our children, we have three grown children and their spouses, and my wife takes care of that. We do have grandchildren, and we choose to spend Christmas Day, and we do help them with certain things, sometimes school and what have you. But we use that to impart truth, biblical truth, teaching of standards of living and things like that. And that's, to a great degree, the gift that I choose to give them. My wife does buy them certain things. We allow them to give us a list. Here's what I would like to have if, in fact, you're looking for something to buy for me. And we have a limit that we will spend on each of our grandchildren. You don't go over that limit. You hit that limit, you don't get anything else. So it's pretty straightforward. We don't have to guess what they want. They will tell us. So she is kind enough to take care of all that. Therefore, my shopping is down to one thing. What I buy my wife.
You lucky duck. Well, I'm one of the ones that falls in the wife category.
And if you were my wife, I would learn out what to buy you, but you are not.
Boy, speaking on behalf of your wife, dang, that better be a great Christmas gift you get her.
Usually is very nice. But a lot of times we will say, why don't we just give each other the gift of going on a trip or something like that. The problem that I have with that is she always sneaks and buys me something and pulls it out at 7 o'clock on Christmas night, and all of a sudden I look like a flying fool. So I've learned.
And she's done it for years too, hadn't she?
Yeah, she has, and I'm a perpetual flying fool. So I learned, though.
Well, that's, I know I live her life. I live her life, I promise you. It's always funny. I always get the list, and we always talk about who's going to get what and how we're going to, you know, break down the money this way. And, oh, we have to buy this one more to kind of even it out. And, I mean, with five kids, you just have to look for bargains, you know, as you can. And so Cyber Monday and Black Friday have lately here, I've been able to find some great deals online. But for, you know, for the past 20 years, I've done all that shopping craziness, and I hate to shop. You can ask any one of my kids and ask my husband. I hate shopping. I cannot stand to shop. I do like to go if I know exactly what I'm going to get. I walk in, I buy it, I turn around, and I walk back out. I'm not one of those people that likes to browse in a store. And I've never had fun just going with girlfriends just to go shopping. Let's go shopping. That has never been interesting to me at all. It's the same as lying on a beach. There's nothing in me that wants to go and land in the sand and sweat and not be able to see anything because it's so bright outside and just be there and be miserable. It's the same issue.
I call it aimless wandering.
You call it what?
Aimless wandering.
Well, that's the way I look at it. It's totally uninteresting to me. But
interesting observations. For example, a picnic, that's a place you go to eat where you give ants an even chance at your food. So there are a lot of the little niceties of life that I shy away from. So I have become known as Grumpy, the Grinch, a number of other things which I probably shouldn't say on this podcast.
Well, when it gets closer to Christmas, I do like getting out with everybody all together and looking at lights or going and looking at all the crowds and just kind of wandering. I do enjoy that some with the kids because there's just kind of an electricity in the air and with everybody with lights going and, you know, sparkly things out the windows and all that in the stores. Everybody's all dressed up for Christmas trying to get your attention. It is kind of fun. There's just kind of a charge to go out and see all that stuff. And that's part of the season for me, but I don't enjoy it early on. It's got to be really close to Christmas before I want to go out and get in the middle of all that turmoil, because it's crazy.
Christmas does that have to be? Christmas Eve?
Yeah, well, before I was married, it was Christmas Eve. I did a lot of my shopping as a single woman. I did a lot of shopping on Christmas Eve, and I loved it. It was great. But you can't now. Everything's if somebody wants something, it is so now specific. It has to be this item with this brand name on it, with these features, and it has to be this price. So if you don't get it when you find it, it's done. It's over. You can't get it. So I can't wait until Christmas Eve anymore.
Before I was married, buying my mother a Christmas gift was the highlight. I loved to buy her something. She was the kind of person who would never buy for herself. And so I always loved to buy her something really, really special and nice. Just this weekend, I was going through some things, trying to clean out some boxes that we had in an attic. And lo and behold, I pulled out a sweater that I had bought my mother. I'm now going to reveal my age. I bought this for my mother in 1960. And I sat there and held that sweater and looked at it. And I remembered where I got it, what I paid for it, what she said when I gave it to her, how she looked when she wore it, and how important that sweater was to her. And I still have that sweater 50 some odd years later.
Wow. How did you get it?
It was just something that when my mom passed away, my brother and my sister and I just sort of divided up the things. Our parents did not keep a lot of things. My father, when he would buy a pair of pants, he'd give away a pair of pants. He said, I can only wear one at a time. So he had a couple of pair of work pants, a couple of pair of Sunday go to meeting pants, he called them. So they didn't have much. When they died, you could put everything they owned on a kitchen table and divide it up. And you know my sister, so you understand some of that. But this was just something that was very important to me. I also have the fork that she made gravy with and the ladle that she stirred soup with. Those are the things that I wanted to keep. There was nothing of value to anybody else. Anybody else would have thrown it away. But those were things that meant something to me because of the feeling and the communication and the conversation that took place about those things.
I think that's you're a good son, and I think that's a sweet memory. That's really nice that you have those things. I guess the rush of people trying to buy the perfect gift and get it on time and get it for a deal, you got to get a bargain, and all of that are people really trying to get to those warm, wonderful memories that can't be bought.
And I think a lot of times people are searching for something to buy, and it becomes a point of consternation because you're trying to make a guess. What is it that they want? Will they like this? Will they like that? It's a great thought that you're trying to please somebody, but it causes so much angst. Christmas is a real time of angst for a lot of people for many reasons, but that's one of them.
Yeah. Well, those that got their bargains, they feel awfully good about them. You know, I mean, you have to admit, if you get a great big screen television, and I don't know what they're running for these days because I bought one a couple of years ago, but let's say you're getting one of those great big 72-inch wall things, and it's on sale for 2/3 off the list price, and you're actually able to get it, and yours is in perfect condition in the box. That would be a good feeling that you actually were able to get that big of a deal for something that's so large. But standing in line for an iPod recharger or an iPhone case because it has the right design on the outside. Some of these deals that are out there are designed to draw every level of shopper in. And I guess if there are only a certain number to go around, and that's what your loved one wants, and that's what you want to give them, I guess you're just going to give everything you've got to go and get it. We're kind of past most of that, I think. And we're smart enough now that I think I can pretty well guess how much they're going to pull off on a price to go on these Black Friday deals, and how soon are they going to come up with the next best thing, the latest generation, et cetera. I think we can pretty well guess how much they're going to drop off. And we have to decide if it's going to be worth it to us to go out at 4 in the morning. And it hasn't been the last couple of years. And
I saw on TV where a certain mall, and I can't remember where it was, seemed like it was in the Midwest. Everything anywhere was 50% off. I thought that was unbelievable.
That's a pretty good deal.
I saw another deal. I don't know if you know the, there's a men's clothing store, the name of it, Joseph Bank. Bank had a deal where if you buy a sports coat, you get 7 other items of lesser value free, plus an iPhone. I couldn't believe it.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Anything.
It wasn't an iPhone. It was a Droid phone. So I don't know what that is, but.
But, anything to draw an audience in, and you're good to go. It's like drawing. It's like waving a carrot in front of a horse. Come in here, come in here, come in here. And it's not like it's the bait and switch. But boy, I guess if you were going to be stuck with a bunch of televisions at the end of the year, you've got a shipment coming in on December the 28th, and they're all brand new TVs that are the newest, latest version that are much more visibly changed, I guess. You don't want to be stuck with last year's model. So I guess it to get your price back out of them is better than nothing. So I would call a 50% off deal. In that case, if I was a merchant, I'd say, okay, you can have it for what I paid for it. But they didn't pay that for it, or they wouldn't do it.
Well, they could. That could be a come on. And most people are not able to do much more than what they call in a retail business keystoning, which means double the price. Now, they may be able to sell things made in China for where they get them for pennies on the dollar and are able to mark them up pretty close to what maybe a U.S.-made product is. Maybe the dollar store, Dollar Tree, something like that, where a lot of Chinese-made goods are.
Well, some people are out there giving their lives to get to these what they think are just giant bargains. There was a shoplifter who was caught in Walmart in Georgia, and 3 security people caught him out in the parking lot, and I guess they sat on him, and they must be pretty significantly sized guys, I guess. They sat on him, I suppose. When the police got there, he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't even struggling to get away. The police got him up off of him. The guy was dead.
Killed that boy graveyard dead, didn't he?
I don't know what he was shoplifting, but I don't really care what he was shoplifting. You just, you know, I don't know.
Consumer technology product. And he did do this. Now, there were three people involved. One was a Walmart employee, and they fired him. The other two, I don't know why they treated them differently, but they were put on leave with pay. And the comment that Walmart made was, we teach our people that the product that they're stealing is not worth, putting your life in jeopardy. And so what they were saying is, we don't want anybody trying to play the job of policeman. You know, at what point do you simply do an ole and let them walk out with things? And at what point do you try to stop it? I don't know the full particulars of this, but it did happen in the northeast part of Atlanta, Lithonia. That's where this took place.
Well, to those of us that are shoppers, and to those of you listening to the show today, we sure hope you'll come back, but we hope that you have a safe shopping season, that you will watch your back and watch your neighbor's back. And
nothing is
worth putting your life on the line because you can get 10% off. Who cares?
But now, if any of you want to buy me a gift, all you have to do is kind of send me an indication of what you're willing to spend, and I'll send you a couple ideas.
That'll work. Hey, listen, come and join us again and have a wonderful, safe shopping holiday season and a Christmas season. And I hope you had a wonderful, full Thanksgiving. And I appreciate being here with my buddy Crash. And we appreciate our listeners. And we especially appreciate those at Big Brains Media. And we'd love for you to go to bigbrainsmedia.com and check out some of the other shows that are there. Those people are hardworking people. Absolutely. And there's some great talent there and a lot of information. If you don't like us, give some of the other shows a listen. So
absolutely, Weather Brains and Worldview Matters.
Bama Talk and Auburn Unleashed. Absolutely. Eavesdrop, bunch of them. There's something for everybody there.
Absolutely,
give it all a listen. Listen, we'll see you next week, Crash. Safe shopping.
Thanks, Janet.
Bye.
This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash. To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.